Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy. Today, I'm very honored to have Anne Graham Lotz not only back on the show, but with us in studio. And Anne, it's a joy to welcome you to Kevin McCullough Radio face-to-face this time. I think in your past books, we've always been on the phone.
And it's a joy to be here. Such a pleasure. And I love to do the face-to-face.
Is New York City a little bit different than North Carolina?
It's very different. But, you know, my husband was born and raised in Flushing. His father was born and raised in Brooklyn. And so I've come here all my married life.
So you're city people.
Well, I'm city people by marriage.
That's right.
So my instincts, of course, are rooted in Western North Carolina.
And your daughters are with us. I'm wondering, you kind of co-equal love between the country and the city as well?
Okay. Well, they're more city girls.
They're mouthing it to me. Yes, we love it. Hey, Anne, you've chosen to write about the Holy Spirit in your most recent book. And this, for some reason, has always been kind of one of those topics that causes Christians of various parts of Christendom to kind of get tripped up and then to go falling, free fall. If they come from a more fundamentalist background, there's a I think, traditionally kind of an attempt to limit what the Holy Spirit looks like and how you define what he does in your life. And if you come from some of the more expressive and charismatic and Pentecostal regions, there's this kind of almost like, why are you like ignoring the source and the power that Jesus promised us to have? Why a book about the Holy Spirit? And what was it about this stage of your life that thought this was the right time to do it?
You know, I think the things that you've just described are one reason that God put it on my heart, because neither one of those extremes is my experience. Hmm. But I was raised, in a committed Christian family where Jesus was loved and obeyed and served and proclaimed. But I never was taught about the Holy Spirit. And in the church, I was in church every Sunday, and he was referred to as the Holy Ghost, which was sort of off-putting for a little girl. I didn't want to draw near to a ghost, you know. And wasn't until I was a young adult and I was reading and studying John's Gospel that I came into a more a full understanding of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a flame of fire. He's not a dove. He's not an it. He's not an ecstatic experience. He's not an emotion. He actually is an invisible person. And he has a mind to think, a will to act, emotions to feel. Just as Jesus was the exact representation of God the Father, the Holy Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus. He is a separate person, but he is all that Jesus is without his man's body. So Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor. Mm-hmm. And another meaning exactly the same. So Jesus was saying, I'm a counselor. The Father will give you another exactly the same as me. So that when I was a little girl, and I confessed my sin and told God I was sorry, and I asked him to come into my heart, to forgive me and come into my heart, I asked Jesus into my heart. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Jesus understood, and he came into me in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in a man's body up in heaven, I believe, getting back soon and getting ready soon to come back and rule the world. But he comes into me in the person of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is actually Jesus in me. That's where I got the title.
It's interesting. Yeah. And I, by the way, I didn't do a good job of introducing it. Jesus in me, experiencing the Holy Spirit as a constant companion. Anne Graham Lotz, the author. And I want to drill down a little bit more on the cultural aspect of this and then get into the book more meatily in just a second. But this has been something that has kept, I think, the church from being effective in a lot of ways. And even for myself, I grew up in, you know, real Bible Belt, Dallas, Texas area, real fundamentalist church growing up. Went to a charismatic high school, had different understandings of theology. And as I was trying to put all this together in my own life as a young adult, I went through some really difficult things. How does pain and suffering reveal the Holy Spirit in ways that maybe everybody that's arguing all the things and they've got it all worked out perfectly, all their boxes are checked. I've argued it perfectly. How does that experience play into understanding what he does?
You know, well, in my life, this book is not a doctrinal statement. It's not a full
You don't check all the boxes?
Yeah, no. This is my experience. This is my experience of the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit. And so I draw from stories from my whole life, but with focus. Like you've just said, 4 years ago, I found my husband unresponsive in our pool and put him on life support. 2 days later, he went to glory. And 2 days before my 49th wedding anniversary, I buried him. And then 3 years after that, my father went to heaven. And so I was just getting used to sort of being a widow when I became an orphan also. And 6 months after my father went to heaven, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and went through the surgery and the follow-up treatments. And nobody to turn to like a husband to discuss what treatment should I have and what doctor should I go to, and no daddy to run to, you know, daddy, with all your contacts, help me.
Certainly.
And I had the Holy Spirit. And so I turned to the Holy Spirit. And so the answer to your question is when things are going well, we feel that we don't need God. You know, we feel more self-sufficient. We always need God, but we don't have that awareness when I think everything seems to be going right. But when the bottom drops out, when you have a storm, when there's a bend in the road, when, you know, whether it's disease or death or, you know, divorce, something like that strikes us, then we tend to look up and say, God, I need you. And what it did was sort of open my eyes in a fresh way to the reality of the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. And Kevin, I can tell you, he came through for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, just every moment. And sometimes at the moment you don't see it, you're just reacting. You know, you're just doing what has to be done the next moment. And you look back and, oh my goodness, you know, he led me to the right doctor. Oh my goodness, he showed me how to handle things after my husband went to heaven. Oh my goodness, it's just amazing how he was constantly present. And so when I look back on the last 4 years, what I remember is not the pain and the suffering and the grief. I just remember blessing after blessing after blessing. And that's the Holy Spirit who just carried me through on a river of people's prayers for me, people around the world praying, and family that gathered around me. My daughters that you've already referenced, they on either side of me through every treatment. And so the Holy Spirit was working through them. And maybe we don't recognize him sometimes because he's coming through another person. You know, he's not a person that we can see, but he comes through a family member. He comes through a physician. He comes through, you know, a friend.
Sure.
And so he was there for me and still is, of course.
Well, what's interesting about what you said, and that had to be a really tough 4 years. I mean, that window is fairly condensed for as much suffering as that is. And that was the same kind of with me. It was a little bit longer. It was about a 6-year period, but it was, you know, a spouse leaving, a child dying, major icons in my life dying, my father abandoning the family. There was just like thing after thing, and it didn't stop.
Yeah,
it was just like pounding.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you got to the other side of it, and you kind of looked back and said, God, I don't know how you pulled me through this. Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know the math. But I'm still here, and that had to be you doing it. And what that did for me, at least, was it deepened a desire to go deeper with understanding what about that strength I could access all the time instead of
that's
just during those seasons.
Yes, that's right.
Talk about that need that we actually have to be as dependent upon him, but the rest of the time, too.
Yeah,
how does that change our life?
Of course. And the Holy Spirit is wonderful. Some of his names reveal his character, you know, who he is. And he's our strengthener. He's our advocate, our intercessor, our helper, our standby.
He prays when we don't know what to pray.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, I read a statistic that 22% of adult Americans are so desperately lonely that they have suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And that loneliness is just an epidemic among millennials. And we see that in their suicide rate and the rest. And it's just, and even though I'm a widow and I'm an orphan, so to speak, we're stripped of some of the people I love the most, I'm not lonely. Loneliness knocked at my door, but it never came in because of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is his constant companionship. And I did more, Kevin, in the last 4 years than just survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just that I made it through. I made it through. I never lost my joy, never lost my peace, never lost my hope for the next day, never lost a strong sense of purpose that God had allowed this for a reason. It wasn't a surprise to him.
Your belief in God's sovereignty increased over this period of time.
You know, just, well, you rested. it. You just fall back into his arms and you just rest in it, knowing that he's on the throne, that he's in charge, and that he has a plan and purpose for my life, that nothing is an accident. When I'm surrendered to him and when my life is in his will, then nothing that happens to me is by accident. It's not whimsical. It's, you know, it's all for a plan and purpose. He allows it for a greater purpose and for his glory. And that's what I live for. I live to bring glory to God. And by that, I mean not to be in a, you know, a shining halo, but that people would look and listen to me and see me, and they would see something of the character of Jesus in me, and therefore they would want to know him.
I think we're kind of instructed to live that way, being ready to give an answer for the hope that's
inside.
Well,
with all my heart, I want to.
Yeah. You know? We're speaking with Ann Graham Lotz. Jesus in Me is the book, Experiencing the Holy Spirit as a Constant Companion. And I want to get into some of the way you've kind of set up the book in a second, but let me ask you about... Because you do a lot of speaking at conferences and you're out. I mean, you're amongst the masses a lot in terms of sharing God's word and what he's put on your heart. What do you think the church could do, I don't know, differently? I hesitate to use the word better, but maybe differently to emphasize more in a healthy way what the Holy Spirit is given to us for and how we can best not only access him, but realize that he's there with us and commune more perfectly with him in this day and age.
Well, I think, and this is generally speaking,
right,
I would challenge the church to get back to the Bible.
Hmm.
That they would, you know, we've substituted, and I hesitate to say this when I've written a book about this, but not books about the Bible, but back to the Bible, back
right.
to the Scripture
right,
itself,
right, right.
and believing it, because the Bible clearly testifies in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is Spirit-breathed. So the Holy Spirit inspired every word of Scripture. Jesus said not one jot or tittle would pass away. All would be fulfilled. So I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is God's Word. It's true. And maybe there are things I don't understand, but I believe that it's God's word. He's a gentleman. He doesn't lie. He doesn't
sure.
spin the truth. And so if the church would get back to teaching the Bible, not just head knowledge, but how to apply it to your life and how to live it out and how to know the God of the Bible. So God speaks to me through his word. And so I want to read my Bible listening for his voice, for him to speak through it to me, you know, and that comes alive, and then get back to prayer. And I'm talking about real prayer, not gossip sessions where, you know, we're praying for so-and-so who, did you know, is, you know, the husband just left or the child just rebelled, or, you know, we
right,
use sometimes
right, right.
prayer requests as gossip, and but where we could pray with each other and pray for the church and pray for our nation and pray for the world that's lost and going to hell without Jesus, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Those are things on my heart, you know.
I love the heart behind that. Ann Graham Lotz is who we're speaking with. Jesus in Me is the name of the book, Experiencing the Holy Spirit as a Constant Companion. It's been endorsed by fantastic people. In fact, just some of the names, if I mentioned them to you, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, Sam Rodriguez, who I had a chance to meet this last year for the first time, but what a delightful guy, Priscilla Shire and Kay Arthur, just some. And let me ask you about the things that we You just ran off a list of things that the Holy Spirit helps us do. And I have found that in my own area of walk, bringing enlightenment to Scripture that I'm struggling with has been one area that I've asked God, give me insight about this. And the Holy Spirit has helped make things more understandable, clear, I guess. Clarity is an emphasis of mine. And then also in the arena of worship, there has been a newness of welcoming, understanding, appreciating God's Spirit. And it is emotional, but it is not necessarily human-based emotion. In fact, some of the songs that I have found recently in our own congregation that I'm worshiping most deeply in, I don't even like the melody or the beat or whatever else that it is. But you know, we now project all the lyrics on the screens in our churches. And sometimes there are phrases of truth that speak to me and actually cut me deep. Mm. And all of a sudden I'm crying about something that I have probably sung through many, many times. But the Holy Spirit opened that window of understanding at that moment, or at least that's my understanding of what happened. In the area of worship and personal study, what is the Holy Spirit's role?
Well, the Holy Spirit, we can't worship God, Jesus said, unless we worship him in spirit and in truth. And so in spirit would
mean... But fundamentalists are really good about the truth part. It's the spirit part that we've always tumbled on.
Well, I think that means with earnestness and sincerity in our own spirits, but also in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I just spoke at a church on Sunday here in the city, and the first song, when they opened up in their worship and they were singing, you know, it was packed out, and I had to control myself not to burst into tears and just be on my face. You know, it was amazing. Many of the songs they sang were old hymns, but just with a wonderful new tempo. And some of the praise courses that I hadn't heard for a while, but, you know, they're considered maybe old and they're not the modern, you know, the contemporary ones today, but they still have powerful meaning.
Sure.
And it was, you can tell when the Spirit is present in the worship. There's sometimes when the worship is a performance and you feel that they're checking it off and they're just doing it, you know, exactly right.
I feel disconnected from those things.
Yes.
If I feel like it's all show and there's no engagement, it's very difficult for me to worship.
So it's the Holy Spirit within us that bears witness, I think, that he's involved in this. So it's not just the words on a screen, although it can be, but there's something in the atmosphere. The leader of the worship that we were on Sunday morning was somebody who didn't write things down. He just led it as the Spirit led him, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere was just electric with the Holy Spirit. It was very precious. And
this is one of those areas where my background has limited me in the past, but I'm thankful for the expansion. Let me ask you about, and this is probably one of the toughest things that I personally experienced. So in 1987, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. She was given about 6 months to live. She ended up living for about another 3.5 years. So she fought and she believed. We came from a very conservative church. She sought out people to anoint her, to anoint her with oil, to pray with her. And she still passed. And there are segments of Christianity that almost make healing and the Holy Spirit's work in healing something that I don't think the text represents.
Like a litmus test.
But what does it mean when the Holy Spirit allows them to die anyway?
Well, he's allowed them the greater miracle of the resurrection given. You know, there is healing, physical healing, and there is healing when he raises us. When we die, we're to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And for myself, I had to face that after my husband went to heaven.
Sure.
And he went so suddenly. And the comfort, the verse that the Lord gave me to comfort me was in Philippians 1, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, that my husband was in a better place. I'd taken care of him for 3 years full time, and it was very hard to let him go. I still wanted to take care of him. I had a very hard time burying him and leaving him in a cemetery, you know. But then the Lord just said, he's died, but he's gained. It's better for him.
Yeah.
And then the next verse says, if I'm left here, then it's because I have more fruitful labor. So I felt like the Lord was just saying, and get on with the job that I've given you. And so for me, when I was diagnosed with cancer, then I'm perfectly fine, Kevin, to go home. I'm perfectly fine. If the Lord wants to take me, I'm ready to go. I want to see my husband, my mother, my dad. I want to see Jesus. You know, I want to go to heaven. But if he leaves me here, if he heals me physically and allows me to continue ministry, then I want to serve him and bear as much fruit for him as I possibly can.
So, yeah.
And of course, I don't have babies and little children. I would feel differently maybe if I did. But I'm free to go or I'm free to stay. So whatever God wants for me is what I want.
There's a liberating freedom in that.
Totally.
And that's kind of like what I think the Holy Spirit excels at, is giving us that kind of liberating freedom within Christ and within the context of how God made us and finding our skill sets. One of the sections you focus on is embracing the Holy Spirit's purpose. Mm. How do we do that better as just Christians trying to live our lives in a very hectic and fast-paced life?
Well, I think the first thing we do is surrender our lives to him. And people are afraid to do that, because if we surrender to the Holy Spirit, is he going to have us do something we don't want to do? Is he going to let us suffer? Is he going to, you know, we're just afraid to let go control. But when we let go control and we give the Holy Spirit total freedom, that's when we're fully blessed. And that's when God comes down, and that's where the power is and the joy and the victory. And so the first step is just to surrender and say, God, I want your will more than my will. I want want what you want more than what I want. And we just release the control of our lives to him and let the Holy Spirit take over and come in line with his purpose. Because you can live a very successful life, so to speak, and get to heaven and find out you weren't even close to what the purpose was that God had for you. You know, I want to complete the purpose God has for me. I don't want to get to heaven, find out I did a lot of good things, and for the Lord to say, Ann, you know, those were good things, but that's not what I had for you. And these were the best things, but you skipped them because you weren't in step with the Holy Spirit. So that means every day, Kevin, I read my Bible, just a few verses to ask, what does it say and what does it mean to me and how I can live this out? And then pray and talk to God about it so that every day I want to be in sync with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I want to be in step with him, that he can lead and guide so that I don't miss his purpose for my life.
That's just one of the samples, friends, from Jesus in Me, Experiencing the Holy Spirit as a Constant Companion. Ann Graham Lotz, we are so grateful for your time. And do me a favor. Come on back to New York often. And when you do, come see us, because we would love to interface more in the days to come.
I would enjoy it.
I believe this will be a best-selling book. Friends, go get your copy right now. Ann Graham Lotz, Jesus in Me. Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.